I'm David Dye, the Portland-based band The Decemberists join us live today. They have a fine new album called Picaresque. We caught up with the band as they were on tour, a tour that didn't start off auspiciously, as the band had their instruments stolen when they were starting out.
Yeah, we had all of our instruments stolen, except for Petra's violin, somehow miraculously spared. Everything else was gone.
How does one recover from something like that?
One borrows equipment from other people and tries to get through a couple shows, and then one gets one's credit card
and, and maxes it.
And one maxes it out.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Were there some unusual instruments that were lost, or was it...
Jenny had an accordion that she was particularly fond of. I had a couple guitars that I was particularly fond of. We were all particularly fond of what we lost, but we got a lot of it back. John got all of his drums back. Right. You wouldn't know that.
Right, he didn't bring them. Picaresque is just a wonderful album and seems a little bigger in all ways for you. Certainly it begins with a rather large procession. And was that the idea going in, that you wanted to enlarge things a little bit?
Yeah, I think it was sort of the idea. I think at least my intention, and I think everybody was along with me on this, on all of our records, is try to make the biggest record possible. Even our first EP, when it was just guitar, upright bass, accordion, and drums, we still wanted to try to make the biggest, you know, record sound with that lineup as possible. And I think with each consecutive record, we've tried to do the same. And this record, I think we finally had the right group of people and the right amount of money and the right amount of time. Just everything sort of fell in place that we really got sort of the vision that we had had.
Now, you recorded it in a church. Did that space help with this?
Absolutely. I mean, in more ways than one. I mean, naturally, the sound, just because churches are designed for the, you know, to make groups of people singing together sound better. The sounds that we got out of that were phenomenal, but also it helped kind of create a more relaxed environment, you know, as opposed to a studio. It felt really kind of weird and relaxed and sort of stress-free.
Well, let's hear some of the music that came out of there. What do you guys want to begin with?
I don't know. What are we playing first?
We Both Go Down.
Okay, this is called We Both Go Down Together.
Here on these cliffs of Dover, so high you can't see over, and while your head is spinning, hold tight, it's just beginning. You come from parents wanting a childhood rough and rotten. I come from wealth and beauty, untouched by work or duty, and all my love, my love, and oh, my love, my love, we both go down together. I found you a tattoo to write on, a dirty daughter from the of a clearing. You wept, but your soul was willing. And I, my love, my love, and I, my love, my love, we both go down together, and my parents will never consent to this love. I hold your hand. Meet me on my vast veranda. my sweet untouched Miranda. And while the seagulls are crying, we fall but our souls are flying. Oh, my love, my love. And oh, my love, my love. And oh, my love, oh my. Together.
The Decemberists are our guest today on the World Cafe, and that is We Both Go Down Together from Picaresque, their new album out on Kill Rock Stars. Colin Malloy leads the band, writes the tunes, was singing there, and you should introduce our other folks here.
Sure. I'll go around in a clockwise motion. To my left is Mr. Chris Funk on guitar. He also plays other things, mandolins, hurdy-gurdies, and things like that. Next to him is Mr. John Spider Moen on the legs, pant legs.
It's like a lap steel. It's like steel.
The lap drums. He didn't bring any drums, so he's playing his lap. And then to his left, we have Jenny Conley on accordion. To her left, after you, is the inimitable bass player, Mr. Nate Query, on upright bass. And next to him is the equally inimitable Petra Hayden on violin and singing.
You know, we both go down together. I'm kind of the way my musical mind works, I'm just drawn to fabulous melodies and how the words go. So I love when Veranda and Miranda are put together in a line. And it's one of the things you seem to love, too. And something that seems to have happened a lot is people talk about your lyrics, but it's how you combine, you know, a tale of death and woe with jaunty melodies. It must really be attractive.
Well, yeah, but I think that I'm just sort of following in a tradition that goes back eons and eons. I mean, back to, like, you know, folk songs often married, you know, jaunty melodies with really dour lyrics. And then I think rock and roll, some of the best rock, I mean, I think starting with the Beatles started, you know, kind of juxtaposing those two things. It creates kind of an interesting tension. So yeah, that's definitely been a part of the songwriting.
I read some of your experiences when you first came to Portland from Montana about how you would go to songwriter circles and just would not be in tune with what the singer-songwriter scene. And that was mostly because of what they were writing about or their whole...
Well, I don't know. I guess I was just at a point in my life where I was sort of trying to almost tear down sort of everything that I had written before and rebuilding and really wanting to try weird things and challenging myself and challenging whoever might be listening. I don't know if, you know, your typical singer-songwriter is really willing to do that. I think a lot of the idea is to sort of try to appease the audience, where I think at that time I was writing a lot of the songs almost as a way to push people away, what I thought would have been, you know, and then maybe some people would sort of grasp onto it and see what it was all about. But for the most part, it was almost like I was trying to kind of scuttle my own ship to a certain degree.
And yet you attracted like-minded musicians.
But then, similarly weird people sort of came on board.
And then something that has happened in the last couple of years with this band is there's been phenomenal attraction of people to it, whether it be the live shows, the records, which must be gratifying, but is it unnerving at the same time? How do you feel about the gathering audience?
I think it's great. Mm. Yeah, there's nothing really unnerving about it. I mean, I look out in the audience every night and see a bunch of people that I feel like I could probably hang out with and talk with. You know, I feel like our audience, we've just been really profoundly lucky to have sort of taken on an audience that is really super nice and really smart and sweet and all that.
Excellent. They're feeling good about themselves as you speak.
I hope so.
What would you like to do next?
This is called The Legionnaire's Lament. This is on our first record, Castaways and Cutouts.
I'm a legionnaire, camel in disrepair, hoping for a Frigidaire to come passing by. I am on reprieve, lacking my joie de vivre, missing my gay parade in this desert dry. And I wrote my girl, I told her I would not return. I'm terribly taking a turn for the worst now. I fear it's been a year or more since I shipped me to this foreign shore, fighting in a foreign war, so far away from my home. If only some rain would fall on the houses and the boulevards and the sidewalk bagatelles. It's like a dream. With the roar of coins and the lolling of the cafe bars, sweetly sleeping, sweeping of the sand. Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be back again. La da da. Sun would pinch doses of laudanum, longing for the old fecundity of my homeland. Curses to this mirage, a bottle of ancient Shiraz, a smattering of distant applause is ringing in my poor ears. On the old left bank, my baby in a sherry, riding up the width and length of the Champs-Élysées. If only some rain would fall on the houses and the boulevards and the sidewalk bagatelles. It's like a dream. With the roar of cars and the lolling of the cafe bars, sweetly sleeping, sweeping of the sand. Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be back again. La da dum dum, la da dum dum. If only some rain would fall on the houses and the boulevards and the sidewalk bagatelles, it's like a dream. With the roar of cars and the lolling of the cafe bars, sweetly sleeping, sweeping of the sand. Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be back.
The December is playing live. Is the chorus of that really laudanum? Or is it just
the word?
Oh, no, I mean you have – the laudanum is in the verse, but yeah, I thought that was the chorus also.
No, laudanum is only in the verse.
I was hearing things.
I think it was la-da-da.
Yeah, it must be the
la-da-da. Which is easily confused with la-da-dum.
Right, exactly.
Don't try it at home.
Exactly. Yeah.
La-da-dum, la-da-dum.
It would just be a different case in Latin, I suppose. A lot of your, you know, people always mention, they mention pirates, they mention Dickens. I'm just going to say there's kind of a lot of 19th century settings in a lot of what you do.
Though we don't write songs about pirates.
Right. No, you don't, but they seem to. They always just mentioned.
Mariners, no yes. Pirates.
Okay.
Briefly a privateer, but no pirates.
On this new one, there's a bunch that are kind of more present-day settings, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's present-day settings all over all of the records. I think the sort of Victorian old world ones tend to outshine. At least, you know, people tend to write about them, mention mm-hmm. them a little bit more. But there are contemporary things running throughout. But I think also I tend to write some of the characters in a really kind of sort of timeless in the sense that sort of free from time, like the two prostitutes on the bus mall. You know, some people actually think, oh, it's, you know, Victorian or old world prostitutes, when in fact they're on a bus mall. It's very contemporary. But I mean, I think my approach is to try to make these characters sort of universal so that they could exist at any time.
Well, I kind of got, but I can understand why it would be confusing. Some can't be. Eli the Barrow Boys. Mm-hmm. It's written very much like an old ballad, and the Sporting Life, although it doesn't necessarily sound like that, is modern day setting. Yeah. Could you do the Barrow Boy just because that melody is completely stuck in my head?
Yeah, absolutely.
Eli, the barrow boy, you're the old town. Sells coal and marigolds, and he cries out all down the day. Below the tamaracks, he is crying. Corn cob and candle wax for the buying all down the day. Would I could afford to buy my love a fine robe made of gold and silk Arabian thread. She is dead and gone and lying in a pine grove, and I must push my barrow all the day, and I must push my barrow all the day. Eli the barrow boy, when they found him dressed all in corduroy, he had drowned in the river down the way. They laid his body down in a churchyard, but still when the moon is out, with his push cart, he calls down the day. Would I could afford to buy my love a fine gown made of gold and silk Arabian thread. But I am dead and gone and lying in a church ground. Still I push my barrow all the day. Still I push barrow all the day.
The Barrow Boy from the Decemberists, who are our guests today. Colin, what attracted you to the story of that character?
I have no idea. It was sort of an attempt to write like a really traditional sort of English ballad and using kind of an archetypal character like that. Obviously a weird relation to the Molly Malone character,
yeah.
But it's selling a little bit more obscure things than cockles and mussels. Obviously things aren't that nobody would really buy. And also just to try to paint it and create this sort of weird tragedy around him. And as it turns out in the end, both his true love dies and then he dies. So it's obvious that it's just sort of tragedy upon tragedy, and now he's just kind of a ghost walking the earth. So it's part, you know, tragedy, part ghost story.
Do you do, this might seem strange, but do you do research on your songs at all? I mean, the words like tamarack and others, you just, those are just part of your
vocabulary
anyway.
I guess they're part of anyone's. I would think, you know, if you read them in a book or read them in a poem, you would either understand them, you know.
You'd figure out what they
through association,
meant.
In context. I don't think of them as being that weird of words. I guess just in a pop song, they tend to stick out. I don't do any research. I mean, a lot of the songs, as far, you know, some people ask if I do historical research for these things, and I mean, I have as much of a grasp on history as, you know, the next guy.
Decemberists are our guests. What do you want to finish up with?
What are we finish? Oh yeah. This is a song that's coming out on the vinyl release of Picaresque. It's a song that didn't quite make it onto the record, and it's called "The Bandit Queen." As the sun is sinking low and the evening's tugged in tow, on the horizon my true love I see. She ain't fancy, she ain't fine, while her fingers number only nine. She's the belle of the ball of the insurgency. She's my bandit queen, laying beneath the moon in a bandit cave, a blanket laying for children. If I could find a way to your hideaway by the sea, no. Oh, bandit queen, steal away to me. Somewhere in a mountain, by a starry water fountain, in an alcove hid by some trees, amidst a pile of treasure, reclining at her leisure, my lady love sniffs at the breeze. And sitting up, she adjusts her turban and takes another swig from a bottle of bourbon, listening to the whistling of the train at station. Odds are it will never reach its destination, 'cause the bandit queen astride her steed will arrive. Oh, let me be the one to lay within your thieving arms tonight. This pleasure, hey, ladies and gentlemen. Miss Jenny Conley, ladies and gentlemen. She's my bandit queen, laying beneath the moon. In our bandit cave, there's a blanket laid for two. If I could find a way to your hideaway by the sea, oh, bandit queen, steal away to me. Oh, bandit queen, steal away to me.
The Bandit Queen finishing off a lovely session with the Decemberists, and that is for vinyl lovers. Now it would have to be what? It's going to have to be a double album, I would think.
Yeah, it's two records, double gatefold vinyl.
Are there other songs that are not on this?
Yeah, there's the side D will feature EP called Picaresquities, which has five outtakes from the recording session.
The prolific Decemberists, our guest today, and that should be in stores pretty soon, if not now.
Very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming by. A real treat.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Decemberists, our guest, and we'll be back in a moment here in the World Cafe. Picaresque, that is the name of that new album from the Decemberists, and if you have been intrigued by our live session today, want to pick up the album, you can find it at our World Cafe CD store on your web browser at worldcafecds.com.